This is episode number 306 with Jenna Ushkowitz.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone to this episode. I'm so grateful and excited for you to be here right now to connect with a new friend of mine, Jenna Ushkowitz. Now, for those that don't know me that well, I am a huge Glee fan, like crazy Glee fan. I would watch all the episodes. I bought a TV just to watch Glee. I was kind of a freak. I have an extremely gifted musical family, and I was never as good as them in music or singing, but I always appreciated the art, and I appreciate being around other musically gifted and talented individuals. Something about the passion that singers and dancers and performers have, it's just so inspiring and invigorating, and it gets me fired up every time I see people perform like that. And Jenna is one of the original cast members of the show Glee, which was a huge hit for 6 years. She is a South Korean-born actress and singer, known for her performances on Broadway musicals and for her role as Tina Cohen Chang on Glee. She is also a co-founder of an organization called Kindred, which is the foundation for adoption, with a friend of hers named Samantha. And she wrote a book in 2013 called Choosing Glee. Now, I gleeked out big time with her in the first few minutes, and we talked about what it was like working on the hit show Glee and how she actually got the audition and the entire process of making it on a major show like that. We dive into what it's like working 17-hour days for 6 years straight. And even if it's something you love to do and it's your big dream, how that affects your daily and personal life. Then we dive into dealing with a loss on the show. So one of the co-stars of Glee passed away about season 3 or 4. And she talked about that process, the transition, how they were able to still show up and perform to their best and do their jobs, but grieve through the entire time as well, and what happened to the show after that experience. The actors and actresses process, being a career auditioner and what that actually means, having the right mindset on set, being adopted in her strides towards finding her biological parents. Then we close it up with gratitude and how to choose happiness every single day. We cover a lot in here. I love this interview so very much. Jenna is an incredibly human. Jenna is an incredibly positive human being. She has got magnetic energy, and she's just a bundle of joy. So I hope you guys enjoy this one as much as I enjoyed doing the interview. And without further ado, let me introduce you to the one, the only, Jenna Ushkowitz. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited about our guest today. Her name is Jenna Ushkowitz. Good to see you here.
Good to see you. Thanks for having
me. I'm so grateful. We were gleeking out a little bit before because most people don't know this about me, but I'm a huge Glee fan, and I'm sure everyone says that to you, but not many probably big jock dudes come up to you and say, I bought a TV just to watch Glee.
Yeah, that's extreme.
Right?
You'd be shocked between the tours, who comes out and says, and then you have like the men who are like, this is for my girlfriend. I'm like,
right,
is.
Exactly.
Sure it is.
You know, my family is, I'm the youngest of four. My parents were opera majors. They met at Ohio State.
Okay.
Sang in opera.
Music.
My brother is the number one jazz violinist in the world.
No way.
He travels with the top jazz musicians in the world. And my sister's a singer-songwriter. So I grew up in a musically talented family.
Wow.
And I was forced to go to choir. And I actually enjoyed it though.
I was gonna say.
And then I did the music, like the play, the musical play of in my senior year. I was like, I'm gonna go audition.
What musical is it?
It was called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
it's Seven
a classic.
Brothers, Seven Brides. Yeah. I was one of like the oldest brothers, and I was terrified because I'd never done
theater.
Theater lines, dancing on stage.
But you grew up like singing and dancing. And
yeah, I mean, but I was kind of like an ego jock, like, oh, this is too, I'm too cool for this type of stuff, you know, I just play sports.
Wear the Letterman jacket.
Exactly, yeah. So I was a big athlete. That was my gift, but secretly love music, love singing. Like, I appreciate it so much.
That's great to hear.
And Glee was like, I started watching
Glee. Were you
Glee.
A secret watcher? Or were you?
My girlfriend at the time, we would watch it together.
Okay.
This was back in 2010.
So, like, she made you watch it.
No, but she was like, she showed it to me, and I was like, this is amazing. And I was like, we got to watch Glee.
Awesome.
And I didn't have a TV at the time. I was living in Columbus, Ohio, and I bought a TV so I could watch Glee.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do you still have a TV now?
I do, yeah. I barely use it. I mean, I watch Netflix documentaries.
Glee's off, so.
So it's like, I might as well throw it away.
What else?
Exactly,
that's
right?
It.
And yeah, but it's amazing. And so you were one of the original cast members, right?
What?
Six seasons.
Six full seasons.
Like
two tours.
Two tours.
Yeah.
Now, what was a normal day like for you? How many hours? Where were you guys?
We were on Paramount, on Melrose, Paramount Pictures,
yeah,
which is a magical lot.
Nice.
Were very lucky to work there because it's smaller, you know, like Universal and all of them are much larger.
Yeah.
And this is really quaint and like had a lot of movie magic, I felt,
yeah,
every day.
I've been on that set. It's nice.
Yeah. It's amazing. And we had, I think, five stages over the course of 6 years.
So it was all shot there. It wasn't like at a high school.
Well, the pilot was at the actual high school, Cabrillo, down in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
So we would drive down to Long Beach. That's where the big stage is, you know, with the black, you know, bottom. And
is that where the auditorium is?
Yeah. Thank you. The auditorium. It was like the stage. And we would shoot down there. And then when we got picked up to go to a series, they rebuilt the hallways and the choir room to look.
No way.
The choir room was much smaller in Cabrillo, like half the size, but obviously.
You guys grew and.
Yeah. And you have to have all the cameras and the crew and everything. So it was five times the size of what it was. And then we had the auditorium down there. They didn't build the auditorium till I think the, second half of season one. So we would drive down to Cabrillo like twice or three times a week to go do the musical numbers down there.
But then they built the set here.
They did. So they built everything to look like it. We had a full auditorium.
That's crazy. It's just over here. A full auditorium. Did they tear it down or something?
It's gone. It was,
I
went back like a couple of days after we had wrapped and they were taking it down. And it's just like
heartbreaking.
Like brings tears to my eyes. I mean, we had so many memories in there and so many moments in there. And
I could only imagine.
I mean, 700 musical numbers.
700?
Yeah. 700.
Oh, my God. What a dream life. That sounds incredible. To sing and dance and just hang out with your friends all day.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, I was like, gosh, we had such a cool job.
Is there a better job you could have had?
No, definitely not.
What else could you have done that would be better?
I mean, and we had celebrities. We had John Stamos. We had Kristen Chenoweth. We had Gwyneth Paltrow.
Did you have Britney Spears?
We did have Britney Spears.
Right?
And he knew.
Gaga?
I mean, it didn't get better. Gaga was not on it.
But you guys performed her songs a lot.
We did lots of her songs. I did her music video, actually. And she was, she's amazing.
Yeah.
No, nothing better, actually. I don't, honestly, during that time, everything was like, God, I wonder, it'd be great if we could just do a show where there's no singing and dancing. But now I'm like, where's the singing and dancing?
Wow.
Yeah, we had Super Glee days. So essentially, like, on a Super Glee day, you would go to work at like 6 a.m. on a Monday, 5 a.m. on a Monday. You'd drive to work in the dark. You'd go to a fitting in the morning to get your clothes set for the next couple of days. And because we had so many costumes, we had so many fittings all the time.
Oh my
gosh. It's not like, you know, where you go in Mad Men and they have 20 suits.
Right.
We had like costumes.
Different stuff, like Lady Gaga style.
Yeah. And then we'd go rehearse the scene. We'd shoot the scene for, you know, 8 hours. Then in between, you know, sometimes they would have a van. They'd be like, you have to go to the recording studio today at lunch. So they'd order you lunch. You'd eat it on the way. You'd go to the recording studio on like Highland, which is like 10 minutes away. You record your song. You have like 30, 45 minutes. You get back to work, go back in hair and makeup. And then at the end of the day, sometimes they'd be like, well, you have this musical number tomorrow that you have to learn. So we have dance rehearsal after that. So Super Glee Days were the recording studio, the fittings, the shooting, and the dance studio.
This is amazing. And you guys were constantly recording in the studio songs.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like, while we were doing one episode, they'd be prepping next week's.
It's unbelievable.
Sometimes we'd have, like, 10 songs. I don't know how we did it. I actually don't know. I think we just blacked out and, like, give in to, you know, what you're doing. Because you realize what it is that you were doing for other people.
Yeah.
It's the bigger picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're in, like, a Glee bubble... working
the glee bubble.
We call it the glee bubble because we were working so much we don't see the effect that it's having on people,
right?
So it that's always like the nicest. You're like,
you guys were literally changing lives. Like,
that's awesome.
Impact. I mean, I have to believe that you were in a big way. I mean
we have a lot of people because of social media, and Twitter was just coming out at that time. A lot of people, the outreach of just, you know, underdogs, we like to call them.
So many, yeah.
Would say, like, thanks for representing me. You saved my life. Like,
yeah, right?
It's heavy. It's heavy, and it's a responsibility, but it was wonderful. I mean, like, I wouldn't change anything.
It's unbelievable. God, so jealous.
I just love that you love Glee so much.
So jealous. So tell me about the moment, the audition process, the experience of, like, hearing, oh, there's this new thing out called Glee that they're casting for. Like,
yeah.
Was it even a big deal?
No.
Like, it was just like a new show. Tell me about the process.
Okay.
And what were you doing before? Because I knew you were on Broadway for a long time.
You got 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have 5 hours?
I was doing Spring Awakening on Broadway at the time. And the casting associate in New York casted Spring Awakening, was casting Glee. We read the script. Pretty much our entire cast of Spring Awakening went in for
Glee.
And the first auditions, usually I think everybody had to sing and, you know, do the lines for the character.
Sure.
We didn't have to sing. We got, like, the pass because we were
sure.
already.
No, we know you can sing.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
Trained professionals.
Thankfully. You're like, okay, cool. There's, like, a nice respect. You're like, oh, thanks. I went in for Tina. She had no real description as to what she was. It was Tina.
Was
part
it
of
even
the Glee
Asian
Club.
Character?
No,
no?
Wow. No. It's like all my friends went in for that role, and like white, black, everything. We just all went in for it. And she doesn't have a big part in the pilot. She has a line, and she stutters. So I literally had to stutter in my audition, and I didn't turn the page, so I didn't realize there were two stutters. So I was like, I think it was doomed. And then the second one was like, what? So I missed the what. They were like, okay, let's do the other one. I was like, what is it? I don't know. So I walked out of the audition. I was like, well, I didn't get that. Like, definitely didn't prep right. Definitely didn't get it. I got a call about a month later. So it just, like, went away. You know, that's what auditions
are.
You're
constantly
doing
auditions. Yeah.
Yeah, I call myself a professional auditioner.
Sure.
I got a call that they were coming, the producers were coming to New York, and they wanted to meet me. They said, prepare a song. So I had to sing a song.
What song was it?
Waiting for Life to Begin from Once on This Island. It's a rare musical. It's like not a very common musical and song that you'll hear, but people do use it for auditions. It's a good song. I went and I sang. I did the doomed again. And then Ryan Murphy said, yeah, exactly. Ryan Murphy said, I don't know much about Tina yet. We haven't figured her out yet. Can you just improv a little bit?
Mm.
And so the first thing that, like, came to my mind was, like, well, my mom likes me to do, like, Glee Club because she thinks it's a good outlet for my stutter. She had Tourette's at the time as well. They wrote her in with Tourette's.
Mm.
And so, like, researching that too, I didn't want to make fun of her, you know, or fun of somebody like that. I wanted to do a true depiction of what I thought that was. So I did that. And then they called me. That went away. It was like another, like,
month.
It was another, like, 4 weeks. And then they said they wanted to bring me to LA to test me, which I had no idea what that was. And for people who don't know what that is, you go in for the studio of the TV show and then the network, all, like, the heads. And you go in a room and you just read the same things for them and sing for them. Mm-hmm. And then they get to decide. And there's usually, like, only two of you left at that point.
Wow.
So they flew me out.
It's like a big opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get to test, you know that, like, you're down to the wire.
Wow.
It could be you or somebody else.
It's make or break time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you nervous? Were you scared?
Well, here's the thing. At this point, I was definitely nervous because any audition, I get nervous a little bit. But I didn't realize the gravity of what a test meant at that point.
Right.
So it was just Broadway another thing. Too. Like, it was, yeah, it's cool. It's like another audition, another callback. I knew, like, cool. I did get so nervous, though, that on the plane, I broke out in hives on my face. It went down by the time my audition happened because I took a red eye after the Spring Awakening show. When it got here in L.A., they put me in an intercontinental. I took a shower, and then I went straight to my audition.
Oh.
So it was pretty high pressure, fast. You didn't really have time to think about it. And I went in for them, and I read, and Ryan was like, I love that you just made her so positive. And that's just who I am. So that was part of like, I was like, yeah, I like her. Like, I thought she was cool. and then they asked me to do in the test again, something like a little less and just do as a stutter instead of Tourette's. So, that was actually nice and relieving because it gives her accessibility to do more things with the role. And then like, 30 minutes after my audition, I got it. I found out I got
it. They said you got it.
Yeah. They called me. And I was actually with the other girl that I auditioned against. So I kind of felt so bad, right? It's rough.
Heart.
But she was like, you know, this like adorable like white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes. And I was like, well, it's you or me. We know where it's not personal. Like, it's one of us. And it's just preference at that point.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what she's doing now?
I have no idea. We used to be Facebook friends, but then I got rid of Facebook. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I mean, she's a working theater girl, so it was all good.
Cool.
And like, we didn't know.
Who wasn't on the biggest show?
We didn't know. Right.
I'm just kidding.
We didn't know at that point either what it was going to be. I just knew that it was like a really cool script.
Wow.
And you're like, this is.
And you knew it was singing and dancing and.
Yeah.
And
I don't
Network,
know
right?
how much though, because there's only like two or three songs in the pilot.
Sure.
You know, Don't Stop definitely.
Don't Stop Believing.
Like
there.
Gives you chills when you.
Every time.
Like when I read it and I was like, oh my God, Don't Stop is coming on. It's like.
How many times
did
you guys sing
song?
That song?
Oh, I don't
Hundreds.
Know. Hundreds. No, well, the first time we shot Don't Stop Believin' in the pilot, it took us 75 takes to actually get it right.
What? Why?
It's figuring it out. You know, we've never done a big musical number. There's like crane cameras and they have Steadicam cameras. And so it's just about like figuring out a formula and how to get the best shots. And then after that, it was like, you know,
it was
like clockwork after season four. You know, end of season six.
Wow.
Yeah. You're like, we know it's here. We know it's there. Right. We know it's here. And that's.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get the part. You're excited. What are you thinking? Okay. I've got to move to LA now or what's.
Yeah. I'd always wanted to move to LA. So this was like the perfect excuse to like be put in straight into a job. Mm. You know, you don't have to move out and then like try and find a job. It was really hard for me at first because I left my entire family. I knew nobody out here except for the cast and it was a small cast. It was, you know, four or five, Leah, Kevin, Amber, Chris, me and there's five of us.
Right.
And Corey. Yeah. So six. But Corey came in later. He was in Canada and he couldn't get a visa. So like we were rehearsing without him and then we were like, who is the secret Finn? Like we don't know. And then, finally he came and, he just completed the little group.
Nice.
We had a great time. We really bonded during the Don't Stop actually, number because there's so much waiting around for the cameras to figure it out. So, we would just play like sit in circles and like ask questions and
play games.
It was great.
Amazing. Gosh, I'm like so excited about this stuff. I'm like such a nerd right now.
It's such a time warp because, you know, I don't really talk about it a lot.
Really?
People don't ask me about it that much anymore. And, you know, taking a year, it's finally been actually like a full 365 days since I've been away from it.
Wow.
It was, you have to like reset yourself.
Yeah.
After being in something like a machine like that for 6 years.
Now, how did the contract work? Because there were six of you guys originally. And so they booked the contract for like every season. Like this is going to be your rate or.
Yeah. You get. So basically when you, for TV, before you even test for the network, you have to work out your deal so that if you get it, your deal is already done.
Wow.
That's what you're getting. And they do it for 6 years is the normal.
6 years. Mm-hmm. That same deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no
TV
bonuses.
Is 6 years.
What if
so I mean, you can extend. So then like say we did 6 years and say that we were all really happy. The show was doing still really well. You get the chance to, they say we were going to pick you up for seven.
But
then
I mean,
you renegotiate your contract.
What about after the first year, it becomes the number one show on TV, 10 million viewers every time.
You can renegotiate.
You can't
There's room to renegotiate for
really?
Sure. Yeah. So we did renegotiate, I think after season two, I think it was season two, going into three.
You guys are working like 17-hour days.
I know. It's wild. It's wild. It was great. I mean, like, at that point, we were doing so well that the success wasn't the money. Mm. It was just everything else.
You guys just blew up.
I mean, we went to the White House. We sang at the Easter Egg Roll. What? We went to Oprah. We did Oprah the same weekend. We flew on a private jet from the White House to Oprah.
X Factor. You did everything.
Yeah. In the UK, we get to go and we went to Australia for like just a press tour. We didn't have to do anything except go meet fans. We got to travel the world. We got to go on
first class
bucket lists, you know, like private jets, Obama, Oprah,
backstage anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Meeting celebrities.
You know, like Johnny Depp's telling you his kid loves the show. Oh, you're like, what's happening? Yeah, we were all pretty like, they were just like, what's happening moments every day, pretty much. When we weren't working.
Wow.
The working was we had to remember too, because of all the flashy things that were happening to us, that it was the work that got us there.
Stay focused.
Yeah. So, I mean, which is, we really didn't have time to think about it at all because we were just working so much. But
all
it was,
day,
yeah.
Day.
And it's like, we were having fun. We were laughing all day long. There were tough days for sure. But, you know, by like hour 14, you're like, eyelashes are coming off. Your hair is like,
I have to sing this
up.
One more time.
People are sleeping. We're like pro sleepers. We could sleep anywhere, just anywhere.
Taking naps. Wow.
Yeah.
What was the most challenging process? It was 6 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the most, and how long would a season last for? Like, for
10
your work?
Months.
10 months. So you had 2 months off.
But then we tour. So we'd have like 4 weeks, maybe like 4 weeks before we go back into another season.
Do you get the weekends off at least?
Yeah, the weekends are ours, but you work at 5 a.m. on Monday, so your Sunday night is not yours. And you work till like 2 a.m. on Friday night. So, you know, your Saturday morning's not yours.
Wow.
You're sleeping.
Wow.
And then sometimes we would have photo shoots on the weekends because that's the only time we could fit it in.
Oh my gosh. You guys were like...
I know, that I think about it, it's like so crazy to me, like, because I finally had time to like reset my day and, you know, my time is my own. And it's weird to think about it again. That it really wasn't. And that's okay. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm compulsive and I had to really be at peace with not, you know, not knowing what was coming and be okay with like the amount of time that we were going to be there. Cause when you're on set, it takes as long. They don't have like, okay, from 10 to 2, you're going to shoot the scene. It's from 10 to whenever it's done.
Right.
So your day can totally get pushed. You're like, this is taking forever.
You can't schedule anything.
Things happen. You
can't
schedule
anything later in the day.
No, you can't schedule anything at all.
Unless it's Saturday night after
Saturday
2 p.m.
Yep.
2 p.m. to 10.
That's mine. That's Jenna's. That's it.
Wow. So did you even have a life at all? Like, did you have a relationship during this time?
I did at the end, towards the season three and four, I think, and five. I was with a guy who was actually on a TV show in Atlanta.
So when did you see each other?
On the weekends, I would fly to Atlanta or he'd fly back to LA.
You would fly for a day?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, 24 hours sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you make it work.
You're a machine.
I guess it's like the only thing I really knew during that time.
Of course. Wow.
Yeah, it was hard maintaining a relationship like that. But you just... That's where your job is. Mm. And like to us, our jobs were our priorities along with each other.
Yes.
And we both understood that. So that was, if you don't, it won't work.
How was the dynamic with the cast and the crew? Was there a lot of drama? Was it more friendly? Was it?
Ups and downs. Yeah. I like to say like we're a family. We spent 365 days together.
Oh my gosh.
You know the ins and outs. You know what makes them tick. You know when to leave them alone. There are days where you're like, okay, I'm not speaking to you today. It's great. but overall, I think what made the show so successful was the chemistry of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier to get along than it was to fight.
Wow.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's just exhausting. And there were fights, there were tiffs, there were moments, and like the crew was so wonderful. And anybody on TV who will understand, those crews have families.
Yeah. But they're just
working
as long as you, if not longer.
Longer.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, I tip my hat to crews who do it. I mean, for their whole lives. It's insane. It's thankless, but we had such an amazing crew and they were so talented and they would dance with us and sing. It's such a fun set to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were a big family.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, there was drama and there was, just a lot of females.
I hear you. I have my, almost everyone on my team is female, so
every you now understand.
And then, yeah, exactly.
And I really, I'm much more of like I'm a male guy. Like I get along with men better than women. I don't have a lot of girlfriends, but yeah. So it was like you just adjust yourself to being in this world that you're like thrown into.
Sure, sure.
But it was great overall. We still all hang out and talk. And...
Sure. What was the if you could think back to one moment that was the most memorable moment for you
on set?
Yeah, on set in all this. How many episodes do you guys do?
Over 100, 120, 115, somewhere.
Okay, so out of all those, from the first episode to the last, what was maybe not on set, but just from the first episode to the last episode during that time?
The most memorable in my brain right now is probably the last scene of the last episode.
I still haven't finished the last season.
Oh, well, the last episode makes me want to cry.
Tell me what
happens. I'm not going to tell you what happens. You have to watch it. We do flash forward. We flash forward with like 6 or 7 of us, which is great. I loved it. And then we also flash back. Did you see the flashback?
No.
We go back to the pilot, so we all have to get back into like our, garb.
Don't stop believing.
And and it's all the things you didn't see during the pilot. So all the scenes in between that got us to where we were in the pilot. It's great. I love that episode too. It was so much fun. It was nostalgic. You know, you're all like, what is that costume that you're like, I saw you that in 6 years ago. So wild. But yeah, the last scene we shot was Matt Morrison's song in the finale, and he sings it to all the new Glee Club and then the old Glee Club that came back. Ooh, I don't even, and I have the clip of it that I was watching the other day, and I just broke down because it's.
He's a great singer too.
Amazing. And him breaking down when you see a grown man cry that, it was, it's the worst.
Oh my gosh.
And like, we're just bawling. And we're not supposed to be like, it's not the end of the episode. We're shooting a scene that's like in the middle and we're all like a mess. It's the last day. Matt's going around with, ukulele, like singing and looking at us. And we're all just like, Leah is grabbing my hand so hard.
So this is like authentic. This isn't acting. This is like,
yeah, it was very real. And it's still
maybe
like,
I did see this part. Maybe I did see this. I'm not sure.
God, it's the...
Wow.
But I loved it. I loved it.
So how many times did you shoot that scene?
We did it I want to say like 6 or 7 times he probably did that song. But the last one we were like to our director, Brad Beaker, we were like, can you just tell us when it's the last one?
Right. So you know that
just
you
so
can,
we
like...
knew we could appreciate like that was it. And just like looking around the room, I was like, what's happening? Like,
so that was the last time you're in that room, the last time.
Yeah, that you were going to hear like action and cut. Like on the show. It was great though.
Wow.
I love that. That was like one of the best moments.
What was the most challenging moment?
There was one episode. Do you see Rocky Horror?
Yes.
So we did the Rocky Horror episode. Adam Shankman directed, who's a great friend. He's wonderful. We were in costumes and like sequin costumes. I was in tap shoes and like a horrible wig. I hate wigs. I'm a terrible theater girl. I know we all have to wear wigs and I hate them. And it was like, I don't want to say we were on hour like 16. Like we were almost there. Wow. We were doing the time warp. And I remember like in between this like huge number, with all these characters and all this choreography. And we had probably shot 3 other numbers earlier in the day, and a scene. And I just remember like the tears starting to well. I was like, just want to go home.
Really?
Yeah. And like, there's a couple of people like who would never complain. They would never complain. And when you'd see them get like to their you're like, this is bad. This is really bad. It was just the hours. It was, it's like
except
being
no life
in that place for,
yeah.
And if you're having a bad day, just that being immersed in that place is like the last place you want to be, but you have to be there. So you have to learn how to like bring yourself back to a happy place.
Right? Wow. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I could ask you questions about the show constantly. We'll have to do it afterwards to save everyone who doesn't care about the show. This is more for my selfish reasons. I'm curious, you were adopted, right? You were born in South Korea, right?
I was. As far as I know.
But you were there for a few months. Is that right?
3 months. I was in foster care with the agency, with the foster mom.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Until They brought me over August 21st, 1986, called Plane Day, when my parents got me a JFK.
Sure, sure.
And yeah, I was 3 months old, and ever since then, I was their little gift from God. Mm. Never really thought of it any other way. It was just part of who I was. Mm. Like I was saying yesterday when I was talking to my best friend, Sam, who's also adopted, I was like, yeah, it was just a part of me. And like when people ask me, like, tell me about yourself, I'm like, well, I'm Jenna. My last name's Ashkowitz, and I was adopted. And that's it. You know, it's right. Just like part of
sure
my little bio.
Right, right.
Life bio.
Where do you think you'd be if you weren't adopted?
On the rice paddies somewhere.
And I don't know if
in
I read
Korea, this. I don't know.
I don't know if I read this. I don't know if I might have skipped it or missed it, but have you connected with your biological parents?
I haven't. It's actually, I'll tell you an interesting story. I grew up in New York with my friend Samantha, and she was adopted as well. Everything was all good and kosher and happy. We ate bagels, and she found out she had a twin sister. That
when she was 25, is this where I saw a video about this?
Yeah.
She wasn't even aware of it or something?
Yeah, she didn't know.
But they found each other on Facebook?
They did. And she's an actress.
Crazy.
And he found the video and was like, why does that look like me? So she messaged her, and they are identical twins.
That's insane.
Crazy. Anything is possible.
Wow.
So at that point, we started a foundation. It's called the Kindred Foundation for Adoption. Kindred. And it's to aid adoptees around the world to give them something that we didn't have. We didn't have growing up. We didn't have anybody that represented us. We didn't have anybody to talk about it with. And not that I needed to, but others do. And I'm finding that out very quickly.
Yeah.
So we started the foundation. And out of that, I was like, maybe I should do my search. These other brave adoptees are coming to us asking, where do I start my search? And I thought, like, maybe I should.
You're like, I don't know.
yeah, exactly. Nobody knows. So that's what we're there for, is to now start, you know, help them, guide them in the right direction.
Okay. So did you start your search?
I started it. So I'd never really wanted to do it. I felt very fulfilled. I felt loved and supported
my whole life.
My parents are amazing.
They're there for you.
Yeah. I asked my dad, I was like, hey, I kind of like want to search my parents.
When was this? About a year ago?
Yeah, a little less.
And how old are you? Am I allowed to ask that?
I'm 29.
It's in Wikipedia.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I look 18, so it's okay.
Exactly. So 29.
Yeah.
So you didn't ask your parents or mention this until you're 29.
Yeah.
So about who my biological
parents? People ask me all the time. They're like, right. Why do you, you know, do you have find your parents? Like, birth parents?
No. Like, eh.
No.
Okay.
So this is like a shock to them. And we haven't really gotten in depth because I, you know, the search went on pause. But I asked my dad, I said, do you have my information from the agency that I was adopted from in Korea? And he did. He also then decided to share with me that he heard when I was brought over that my dad was in the military. And I didn't know which one. Like, I don't know if he's in the Japanese military or the Korean military. I don't know.
Right.
Because I did 23andMe, which do you like spit in the tube and they tell you your genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 33% Japanese. And I thought I'd been growing up for 29 years thinking I'm 100% Korean.
Wow.
So that sparked something. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's something I didn't know about myself. And then I started the search. They came back to me with all this information to fill out. And I like freaked out, and not in a bad way. I'm not ready.
Why not?
And part of that is I'm so busy right now to process something like that. I just need more time.
You're more busy now than you were during Glee?
Yeah, believe it or not, I've stayed quite busy between the foundation, between the podcast, between trying to get another job and like picking. I did two movies in New York in like September and November. So like, you know, that takes a lot of my headspace.
Sure, sure.
It's just a matter of like, yeah, I am, which is great.
What if this is the new job?
I mean, part of it will be building the brand.
What if it's a documentary that helps support the foundation and is the Kickstarter for creating awareness?
I mean, 100%.
Selling it to Netflix, you know,
exactly.
The whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, definitely.
I think it'd be great.
Need the acting because it feeds my soul in a way none of these things can.
Mm.
But I definitely, this is part of it. This is the in-between that.
Sure, sure.
So it's the on-off.
Interesting.
But yeah, so I paused and I said no. I also like in my heart think for some reason, I've always thought my mom was dead, passed away. Mm. And I don't know if that's in my conscious, at peace with her being away.
Yeah.
Or if she really is and I can feel it. You know, they say like twins have feelings. I have that with my birth mother.
Wow.
I don't know.
You never thought what they were doing?
I always wonder about nature versus nurture. I wonder where I get my musicality from because home I grew up in was not the most musical. They put me in, obviously, I trained my whole life, but they're not very musical. And they weren't in the business at all until I came along. So
you were dancing and singing all day long.
Yeah, I mean, they put me in when I was 3. So I've been in the business since I was, you know, a tot. It's just like part of what I do and who I am.
Sure.
But I love it.
It's amazing.
I wouldn't trade it. Like a lot of people do ask as well, like, or I guess not anymore, but do you feel like you missed out on a childhood?
Mm. Do you?
No. No, I feel like that was my childhood. That was supposed to be my childhood.
Yeah.
Was singing on Broadway.
That's pretty sweet. That's lucky. That's long hours too, right?
In the beginning, so when I was in The King and I, when I was 9, it's a 6-week rehearsal process that you get to learn the show. So I was tutored during that time. Yeah. There were 14 kids. We had a blast. And then when you do the show, it's just 8 shows a week at night. So I lived on Long Island. My parents would drive me in every day. They bought a minivan so I could sleep on the way home so I could go to school in the morning.
Oh, wow.
I had school during the day and then I'd do my homework on the way in and then do the show. And that was like playtime for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't quite as taxing as doing a Broadway show now.
Right. What's something someone listening or watching should know about wanting to get into the industry, wanting to be an actor, or maybe what are some things, like some simple principles that you can say for, and this could relate to people that are giving speeches, a lot of entrepreneurs that give big presentations and speak in front of large audiences. Maybe what's a ritual or something that you tell yourself before you're about to audition, get ready for a scene, whatever, be on stage. What are some things you do?
In terms of auditioning or going to speak or singing, beforehand, I don't know if I can curse on this. I won't curse, but I say F-U. Before I go. And I say, the nerves aren't going to do me good. So, like, go away.
So you're saying that to the nerves?
To myself, yeah.
Gotcha.
To, like, calm myself down.
Yes.
When you don't have beta blockers. A lot of actors do because they get so incredibly nervous that they take beta blockers before to, like,
calm the nerves.
But mine don't get that bad. So, yeah, I say F-U. Like, I'm only going to succeed if I'm at my best. Mm. And that's the mindset I try to go into auditions with. I also, for actors, it's leave your day at the door when you go in for auditions. Leave your day. Nobody wants to know about what that happened before or after.
Right. Show up and be a pro.
Go in and, you do your thing. Whether you're having a good or a bad day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think also it's just about knowing that what you are bringing is enough and that it's not about the jealousy of others. It's not about the other's success. It's just really about focusing on what you have to give and what you have to bring. And I think that's also important to say, like, they're lucky to have what I'm bringing.
Yeah.
As well as, like, please cast me.
Right.
Give me a job. Because, like, I feel like people can smell the desperation. When you go too far, it's like, it's not attractive. And it's not, not a good look.
It's the same thing in relationships.
Yeah.
Getting a job. If you're, like, desperate to get a job, desperate to get the girl.
Right.
The girl's like, get away from me.
Yeah, you're like, play it cool.
It's when you don't need anything. They give it to you.
It pours on you.
They give it to you for free.
Yeah. You get, like, 3 movie offers instead of just one. And you're like, of course.
So how do you get that mentality? How do you switch it when you don't have anything, maybe? When you're not getting the jobs, how do you be like, well, I really need the job because I need to make some money?
Yeah. You have to find other things to feed your soul to keep you happy. And that's something I struggle with every day. This business is everything that I am. It is
your life.
It is my life. It is me. I mean, and I have to separate and remember that what I'm bringing is taking me another step to where I need to be. It's all a nice maniacal plan that I have set out. Even I like to try and think, because I am enough, and I work so hard, so it will pay off. It's just not the right timing. You know, it has to be the right thing in the right moment. It's all a little bit of luck, a little bit of talent. And maybe
you're not ready for certain things either.
Yeah.
You don't want to get a big role and then blow it because you're not prepared. You don't have the skills, the tools yet to really show up in a powerful way.
Exactly. But, while I'm waiting, I have to remember that the things that I'm doing are part of the bigger picture.
Of course. Yeah. What's the bigger picture for you? What's your vision?
I'm successful enough of an actor that I'm able to do these things without worrying about where the next job is, where the money's coming from, where bi-coastal, being able to keep two places and just be able to pop back and forth when I need, keeping with the foundation and potentially just building a brand. I think it just well rounds you. Mm. It's also because I feel like I have a very strong businesswoman in me that I don't get to expel with acting. So,
Right.
Write a book and do a podcast.
And by the way, the book you have, I haven't mentioned it yet. It's called Choosing Glee. It came out a couple of years ago. 10 Rules to Finding Inspiration, Happiness, and the Real You. I love it because a lot of pictures for me. It's hard to read. So, it's a lot of cool pictures.
The pictures were for me.
Exactly. But it's just great. You share a lot of great lessons and stories, and you bring in stories from all your cast members and other people that inspire you, which I think
The book was really the Kickstarter for this whole, I think, brand, if you will. It kind of started because it was me really actually honing in on the idea that I realized that not everybody is very positive and not everybody thinks the way that I do.
You're very positive, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just been a part of who I am my whole life. I've always just looked on the brighter side and been very grateful. So now it's all about practicing it. It's practicing gratitude. It's practicing patience. It's everything has to be mindful. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of it now. It's not just a part of and if I can impart that on other people, and because people are like, how do you do it? I don't know. I just do it. Mm. But now it's sort of figuring out where it came from.
Well,
it's like therapy.
That's it. I was doing a workshop last night for a group of female models, and I was talking about, the importance of practicing gratitude every day. For me is huge. When I wake up every morning, I say what I'm thankful and grateful for. Mm-hmm. Before I go to bed at night, I tell my girlfriend three things I'm grateful for the day, and I ask her the three things. I think when we're constantly in the practice of gratitude, mm-hmm. it's hard to be angry and resentful and passive aggressive and frustrated at the same time.
Yeah. There's definitely something to setting your day up to succeed, to be grateful, to be patient, to be kind, to be, it's just the little acts of kindness. It's like, I don't know if you know A.J. Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing.
He wrote a quote on the back of my
book. He's the coolest.
He's a great guy.
He came on my podcast and he did the Living Biblically, and he had to be grateful. So he would always say thank you, elevator, for getting me to the floor that I need to get to. And I always think about that because you think about all the things that go wrong in your day, but you don't think about all the things that go right.
Yeah.
So it's just about
And the things going right, you woke up.
Exactly.
It's another day. You're blessed.
There wasn't a humongous earthquake in California.
Right?
Do you know what I mean? You have your, I have my five senses, and I have my fingers, and I have my legs.
Everything. Yeah, I've got a buddy of mine who was born without arms and legs, and he is climbing a mountain right now on his elbows.
Of course he is.
He's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro before. He's fought in a cage fight with an able-bodied person. CrossFit because he's
He can.
Yes. And there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
When someone like that.
There was somebody running a marathon. My friend was telling me he was running a marathon. He did the New York City Marathon just once. He's like, never do it again. And there was somebody. He's one of the kindest people that I know and most grateful people that I know. Yeah. So he, it says, cheer me on the back of this guy's shirt that he's running next to. And he's like, good job, Pedro. He just said that. And the guy next to him on this side goes, thank you. Because Pedro was blind running a marathon. I just love it.
That's
it makes
crazy.
Those kind of things are so cool and sweet reminders.
Yes. Now, what was a non-negotiable for you or a ritual routine that you had to do every single day during the Glee experience? Was there anything or was just give up things that you wanted to serve the cause of the show?
You mean waking up rituals?
Yeah, anything. Was there anything you did in the morning, in the afternoon? You're like, I have to eat at a certain time. I have to meditate every day. I have to at least take 20 seconds to write something down.
I didn't. I wasn't so mindful during Glee because we were so...
It was chaotic.
Involved.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the every day was going to work and being there. There were times, though, in the middle of it that, like, there were just so many of us that the storylines weren't happening for me, and I was getting really frustrated. And, like,
what
something
do you mean
had
by
to
that?
Change.
Like, you weren't connecting with the character. You weren't.
Well, they weren't writing for me. So, like, I would have, like, one line in a script, so, like, and you
point?
Sit there,
why
but you
here?
Have to be there because you're all in the choir room. So, you're not
frustrated.
Expending your creative energy. That's where the book came from. It was finding things to keep me at peace while I made, you know, I did my job and did it well with a smile on my face.
But weren't as prominent a figure, maybe, right? Or
yeah, just in the background. Yeah,
that's
you
tough.
Feel like
they're bringing
you're
new cast members constantly, right?
Yeah, there's and so there's 18 of us,
and then they're putting them as everyone has like a focal point
storylines. Yeah, exactly. So the shift goes, and there
wow.
every you have your time, and then you don't. And
that's
I just
tough.
Don't feel like I ever really I didn't at that point feel like I had my time at all.
Do you feel like forgotten almost, or
yeah, a little underappreciated for how hard. I work and watching some other people, not the cast, but like you see other people who don't work quite as hard and still get more than you. And you're like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And it's truly not about that. It's, you know, now in retrospect, I look at something like that and it's not, again, it's not about what you're doing wrong. It's just about what other people are doing. And,
right.
But I did, we always had to have coffee. We always liked to go to lunch together. We right. We all really liked to try and eat lunch together.
That's cool.
At least a few of us at a time.
Yeah.
If you go to, if we went to restaurants and like all of us, it, number one, took too long and number two, we'd be
get
bombarded.
Swarmed.
So yeah. I actually got like, we got, we were at In-N-Out last night and somebody came up and it's been a while. Like people come up to us, but when we're together, when there's like two or more.
They don't come to you when you're by yourself or something?
They, you know what? People are less likely to come up to you if you're by yourself. I don't know. Maybe it's something I give off because I'm like
I
an introvert
it.
And
when
I get so weird.
When I was at the airport, actually, I've met three of you now, the group of you. Well, oh, gosh, what's his name?
Which one?
Who's the guy that came on in like second or third season who was a gay character?
Darren or
Chris? Yes, Darren. Chris,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I saw him at a – I walked on a plane, and I just saw him sitting there, and I was like – I just put my fist out. I go, dude. I just go, bro, you're the man.
That's
I go,
awesome.
You're the man. A pound of him was like –
that's a good person to do it, too.
And
he'll
I,
definitely
he
just
goes,
be like, thanks, dude.
He goes, thanks, bro.
Right?
Thanks, man. And I just walked back. I was like, the man.
Yeah, he's like that. He's a great one to approach.
Yeah.
I get like scared. I'm like, oh my God.
No, I've said hi to everyone I've met at Glee. I'm just like, I
good
love
for
you.
You.
I love you.
Good
you're amazing.
You.
I think, cause you know, I'm not anywhere at the level of like recognition that you guys have, but whenever I'm out, I really appreciate it. Like when New York or LA people are like, dude, I love the podcast. I listen to it all the time. I'm like, I appreciate it. And
that's
I want to like give someone a hug because I don't know who's listening.
Right.
It's like, you
right.
don't know
that's
who's
true.
Watching.
You really don't.
You don't know unless they say something.
Right. Right. It's
and obviously
true.
There's a time and a place probably you.
Definitely.
You know.
See, I love when like last night she came up. She says, I'm from New York. I'm just really happy to see you guys here and we miss you on TV.
Oh.
And that was it. No ask for a photo, nothing like that. Not that I'm against photos or anything, but there's, a level of respect when somebody just goes and they want nothing from it.
Right.
Do you know?
Yeah, you appreciate it more.
You're like, oh, that's so nice and tasteful.
Now, what was it like when you were on the show? Because I'm assuming you weren't really well known before. You didn't have this recognition walking down the street.
No.
So what was it like when all of a sudden people, anytime you go down the street, they're like, they noticed you. They said something that came up to you. What was that like for you? Actually,
weird.
Getting this fame and this recognition.
Yeah, it went. It was weird. Most of it was great because, you know, you don't see that. And we don't know for what we're doing is right. We know that the ratings are good. And
right.
we know that, you know, the critics like it. But it's the fans that keep you going.
Right.
And they were just the most, it was a different group of fans. Mm. We started to get high school students who were saying, we're starting Glee clubs or
crazy.
You brought music back into my school
crazy.
Or you saved my life. I came out. I'm gay. Like it was just mind blowing how many social issues were brought up in the show that then could be talked about, you know, in the world.
Right.
And so, it was really great and cool. And they'd be like, we love Glee. And we were just so weirded out by it, number one, because you're like, cool. Number two, they'll call you by your character name a lot in the beginning, like, because they didn't know us. So
Tina!
I still get called Tina. It's okay. Like, I'm cool.
It's hard because no one knows.
Yeah. And then some fans will be like, her name's Jenna. I'm like, thank you. It's okay. We don't need to fight. But, you know, it's interesting. And especially because of social media, like, your life is not private.
Yeah.
And it's weird. And you share things, and then people think that they have the right to everything. Some people do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it gets scary sometimes, you know, like, you don't think about things like when you get packages shipped to your house, you have to change the name. I can't put Jenna Oshkowitz because then people know where I live.
Oh, wow.
So it's things that you don't think about and things that you don't realize are like, oh, I don't want somebody knowing my apartment number.
Of course.
Somebody showing up at my
door. Or in the neighborhood, maybe.
Yeah, like driving your car and they follow you home. You know, like things like that. It never really got that crazy for me. But I had fraud chart, you know, like my email, I changed my email. It's just crazy little things that you don't think about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who do you think experienced the biggest transformation of being unknown to like the biggest fan?
Chris Colfer was 19 when we started the pilot, and the two of us would drive to work every single day together because we didn't really have anybody else. We'd hang out after we were done with rehearsal. We'd go like walk around the Grove or walk around the Beverly Center, which we could do at that time.
At that time. Now you can.
It was appreciated at the moment. We didn't realize, but and we would just hang out. And he was from Clovis, California. And for people who don't know that, it's a very small town.
Wow.
He was picked on, bullied.
Awesomely.
He didn't come out before the show came out.
What?
No, he wasn't out when we were doing the pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was always, wasn't he a gay character on the show?
Yeah.
But he didn't come out as gay.
Mm-mm. Until later.
I just assumed that he was.
Yeah, I know. And so he,
fooled me.
Yeah, it was a big transition for him to come into a big city. And then come out on TV as well. It was one of those times where you're like, okay. And so when he did that, I mean, God, the kid is so strong.
Wow,
crazy. And so smart.
Talented.
It's crazy. But he was, you know, a genius. We're all going to work for him one day. Like, we basically are. He became this icon, gay icon on TV for all those kids who didn't know how to come out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of, you know, response that he got from these people, and now he's literally a gay icon. Like Elton John, like loves him. It's amazing. Wow. But he shot in so fast, faster than any of us. And I definitely, we saw it, and it was, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for somebody who's young, just out of high school, then like shot. At least like we were, you know. We had like fans in Spring Awakening and we were sort of used to stuff like that. It was cool. Good. But for him, I think it was the biggest.
Right. Now, what season and episode did Corey pass?
Corey passed away in the break of season 4 to 5.
Mm.
Yeah.
In between.
Yeah. We were like a week away from going back to work and then we had to postpone. And like most of us found out, like I found out I was out at a bar in New York and you think it's like a hoax when the celebrities come up and they like die.
Yeah.
And we thought it was a joke. And then when I started to see like that other people were reporting about it, all my friends, all the cast was here in LA. So I was like by myself.
Oh man.
And Cord was in New York, thankfully, and Harry too. So like we met up that night, but, it was a shock. We didn't know.
Wow.
We didn't really know. He kept one of the.
You didn't know that he was going.
We knew
rehab.
He was going through. Yeah, we knew he was in rehab. He came out of rehab and then passed away after he left. So we didn't. We thought he was on the mend. We thought he was on the way up. And we really didn't know during the time either. Like for me, he kept his enemies his own. It never affected us. It never affected work. It never affected.
Really?
Yeah.
When he was on set. He was focused.
And so it was kind of wild to
like a shocker.
Have something drop like that so fast.
Wow.
And it really hurt us too. It's beyond words. Wow. The experience, that emotional experience for us. Thankfully, we all had each other and it actually, the good that came out of that was like we had pretty a lot of us had separated from each other. We were doing our own things. We were having our own projects. Really brought us back together like so fast. And it definitely. I mean, I don't know if we would be the same and as close and as tight if he was still around.
Wow, because you guys all had your own fame that was getting your own opportunities, records, movies, TV, whatever.
Everything. So for us, it was like we were doing our own stuff, and you know, we're still fine. Everybody was great, but like it's something that you stick now. Like went through something tragic, and you only come out together stronger.
And he was
like
the
that.
Lead, right?
I mean, he was our quarterback. He was our dude. He was the light of the show. He was the heart. Mm. You know, he was our leader, and we all looked to him.
Was he the real leader in real life too? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so you just because he was tall. Like, you know, I'm just kidding. He was he's just a presence, mm-hmm. and it was so just wonderful to have. He made people laugh, and he would throw like they would have rap parties for us, but then they would be like. He would throw like a house rap party for the cast and crew. Yeah. And like just throw them. Yeah. Yeah. And it was awesome. And everybody was so appreciative of that because he was always so appreciative and he never complained.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Just never know sometimes.
You really don't. It makes you really think about your life and think about
what happened for you after that.
You know, for me, like a part of the show died when Corey died. And that I think a lot of people, you know, I'm speaking for myself, but I feel like a lot of people feel there was something that's just missing, you know, that's your brother.
Yeah.
It's just missing. So it was a really hard transition. Everybody was so strong and so amazing. And, you know, we move on and that's what we do. It's life. It was really weird though. You're like, nobody ever experiences that really. Like, there's not a lot of shows you lose a character and you lose a beloved character and a friend. So you're like, what do you do? You don't even know.
Not a lot of shows and the biggest show on TV, essentially.
Yeah.
One of the biggest shows.
Yeah. So it was weird for a while and never forgotten.
I remember the next episode was just heartbreaking.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that. It was so hard to do. And the way I like to look at it is like we got our memorial, we got our time with him, we got our way to say goodbye, like, and the fans didn't, so that was for them,
right?
You know, for them to say goodbye to Finn.
And wasn't Leah and him dating?
Yeah, they were dating at the time, so it was even a whole other.
Imagine
she's one of the strongest people I know.
How do you go on?
She came in and did the episode with us. You know, she only came in a little bit because you know she shouldn't have been around at all, but you know, she was doing her own, you know, sort of mourning and grieving.
Wow.
But she came in and did the song, and that was heartbreaking. And,
you watched it.
But they were dating at the time. They dated for a long time before that. And they made each other better.
Wow.
So it was, you know, we loved it. It was great to see them together and to have like mom and dad sort of lead the way. But you move on. You do, and you appreciate. And we never forgot him. I mean, like, we talked about, you know, the script talked about him all the time. Like,
right.
Our characters
flashbacks
about him.
And everything.
Yeah, which were, like, killer. But that had to happen. I mean, you have to keep him in the show.
Yeah.
Incorporated.
How have you stayed so grounded? biggest show in the world. Fans everywhere.
I mean, look at it now. We're all, you know, trying to get the next job and we're all like human beings.
Right.
So it's one of those things you just like a keen sense of awareness keeps you and humility keeps you down to earth, you know?
That's another thing. It's like, how do you and your cast, your family handle like being the biggest, most important people to, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but I mean, just like, now what?
It keeps you.
Because I don't know any other cast members who are on TV.
No, not right now. I don't think so. Yeah.
So it's like.
I mean, people are doing stuff.
Right.
You know, we're all working hard.
Of course,
it's just a matter of, going from something to absolutely like 180 to, you know, you're in park for a second.
Right.
We're human. Mm. I mean, like, you go to Comic-Con and like, you see, like, I like to call Comic-Con like, you know, like camp for celebrities, mm-hmm. where you go and hang out with your friends. Like, it's the one time I know I get to see, like, a lot of my friends who are off doing movies and off, you know, in Atlanta or mm-hmm. Vancouver. And so, and you just remember, like, these people are human and they're your friends and they're normal and they don't, this isn't everything that they are. And you can get lost in that so easy. We did, you know, because we had to. You have to, like, sort of give into the Hollywood life. You have to give into getting your hair and makeup done all the time and going to these events and just putting on a good face.
Yeah. And acting like a big deal. And
yeah, I mean, there were days that, like, you know, I would have a terrible day or something would happen with, like, my boyfriend and I or my family, and you'd have to go to this event and put on a smile and do it.
Yeah.
But those are the things that bring you back real fast.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
My parents also have always taught me that from the beginning, because they put me in the business so early, and child stars can be crazy.
Yes.
they were always like, Jenna, just remember to keep a good head on your shoulders.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So I owe it to them.
How many tattoos do you have?
I think 23 now.
23?
Yeah. They're all little, though, because I don't have a sleeve or anything. But they're like, I have my feet and my ribs, my back. And
what's the most meaningful one to you?
Oh, goodness. Well, they all have meaning.
Of course.
well, meaningful to myself.
Yes.
Inej is backwards. It's Jenna backwards. Oh. My dad calls me that. And I did my lucky number 28 in Roman numerals because my dad always plays that for, like, lottery and stuff. Mm. So, that's for my family, my dad. And then this one we got for Tina. I got for Tina. For a Glee. And then, like, the rest, well, this one too, because me, Leah, and Kevin were in Chicago, I think it was during Oprah time, and we, like, took a cab and we were like, we're going to a tattoo parlor, and we all got Imagine because he just finished that song, you know, with the deaf students.
Oh, wow.
And we did Imagine and they signed it. So got Imagine somewhere.
That's cool. What's what's a nice tattoo? What would you get?
I'm actually want to go get another one while I'm here. I said I wouldn't do anymore, but I want to do the Taurus constellation.
Mm. Okay.
That's probably next.
Okay. I love it. A few more questions for you.
Sure.
I feel like I could talk to you for an hour. How are you handling, let's say, rejections that come up now? And let's say, I don't want to say you're getting rejected.
I'm doing that because it's hard.
I'm saying there's a lot of people that put themselves out there and then that are looking to get a job, and people say no.
Yeah.
Try to do business deals that are, you know, whatever.
You know, I have to keep in mind, I've been going through it because this is pilot season. And for people who don't know, pilot season is like when all the new TV shows do their pilots and then the networks look and say, we're going to pick 3 out of the 10.
Right.
So all the characters are being cast right now, and I've gone out on a plethora of auditions, and they're great. You know, they're going really well. Mm-hmm. You're making relationships even if you don't get the job, and you're making good impressions.
Of course.
So,
but how do you handle it?
So it's hard. I mean, literally day to day, it's up and down. I'm like, I love LA and I love this. And then the next day I'm like, I hate everything. Yeah, I'm quitting. You have to keep in mind the right project's going to come at the right time.
Hmm.
Not every project. I mean, I'm 110% at everything I do, from waking up in the morning and drinking my coffee. Like, you know, it's just like everything is. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you can't get married to the parts before you book them.
Right.
I have to, like, let it go. And you have to remember that it's just the right timing and the right character, and it's going to all happen. Like, there was a pilot I did for Disney years ago. And during that time, I would have been for the 6 years. It didn't get picked up. Well, it did, but I got recast, actually. They brought in a different woman to play the role. And had I done the show while it was running, I wouldn't have been able to audition for Glee.
Mm.
So, like, everything just, it all makes sense.
Of course, yeah.
So that's what I keep in mind. But I don't, it's really like a day-to-day. And I'm living with my best friend, Kevin, who plays Artie. Right now,
oh, really?
And we're both auditioning, and we keep each other sane. Here, here in LA. I'm staying with him.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And, we're great. We've always been the best of friends, and
he's very talented too.
He's insane.
His
harmonies,
whenever he sings harmonies,
and he can dance, and he can sing, and he can write, and he's just
the episode
smart.
Where he got to dance. I was like,
I know,
yes.
We were all so happy.
It was amazing.
And on tour, like we'd wake up in the morning and go get breakfast, and then they go around the city together. So man. Like everything we did was just
that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd do without him, but. Even during pilot season now, like we keep each other in check. We run lines with each other.
That's cool.
When we're having a bad day, like we'll go and he's like, let's just go get like cheeseburgers or something. And
that's cool.
You know, try and forget about it. So it is good to have a support system here.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's hard though. It is hard, hard, hard. There are days we both had one really bad day this time and we're laying on the couch like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Especially when you were on the top of the world.
Yeah. I mean, you go from something and then we look at each other. We're like, I missed that show. It's wow. One of those things sometimes.
Amazing. Now I think I read you have a breathing exercise, right? That you follow or you practice. Do you have a breathing exercise?
I try. I don't have one that I stick to.
Something different.
It's all about, you know, like when I go to sleep at night, I try to, when I can't fall asleep, I try not to do, I used to take melatonin a lot and like yeah. try or do something to make me go to bed.
Relax, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's just focusing on my breathing.
That's good. How important is your breathing for you?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, literally everything. I need to, it's sometimes like, at stoplights, I'll put my car in park and I'll close my eyes. I know it's probably not the safest. My therapist said it was okay to do that. And I just close my eyes and I listen to my breathing and, I'll just like say something to myself, either it's whether it's something that I'm grateful for or whatever's going through my head. It's just, you know, be quiet, Jenna. And then like I'll open my eyes and I'll, you know, it'll light, either somebody will honk at me and I'll go or, it'll be before the light change.
Sure. That's cool. I like it. Okay. Final few questions.
Okay.
I'm going to keep saying this every question.
It's fine.
Hold on. I want to wrap this with you. I want to ask the question. If you could say one sentence to your biological mom and your biological dad, and it'd be the only sentence that say they're both alive.
Okay.
And you could say one thing to them each, and that'd be the only thing you'll ever get to say to them. For them to hear about you. They don't even know what you've created in your life. They don't even know you're alive.
Okay.
They don't know where you're headed, what you've done, where you've been. But they get one sentence each to hear.
This is like a lot of pressure.
I didn't give her time to prep her this.
No.
So
it's
this
good,
is just off the cuff.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely. Okay.
I'm the casting director's telling you to improv. Here.
Okay.
So tell me. So
mom and dad.
Your mom. No, you get one sentence for each.
It'd be the same.
Okay. So you get two sentences.
Thank you. Mom and dad, thank you for giving me the opportunity to have a better life than you could give. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm living wholeheartedly. I do not take what you did for granted. And I love you, and I hope you're happy.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
That's great. The final three questions that I ask everyone.
Okay.
First one is, what are you most grateful for in your life recently?
My new goddaughter. Mm. She's taught me to have a different perspective, which I hadn't had in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm most grateful for being alive. I'm grateful that I get to go on auditions and I get to live comfortably while I'm not. And I have wonderful friends, and that I'm realizing like what makes me happy and not making excuses for it or, you know, not having to apologize for it.
Yeah. That's cool. So this is, since you're going to live for another 100 years, this is 100 years from now. It's your last day. You've had an incredible life.
Okay.
You've had a lot of great men in your life, a lot of great friends, incredible family. You've achieved everything you wanted to achieve. Every dream possible.
Whoa.
It's happened.
Okay.
And then some. And you're peaceful. Everything's good. But your books, your movies, Glee has been erased from time. So no one has any They can't watch or read anything that you've ever done. But your great, great, great granddaughter or someone comes up and says, you got a piece of paper and a pen to write down three truths, the three things you know to be true about your entire experience, your life, from all the ups and downs, the beautiful things. This will be the only thing that we get to remember your message by that's written down. What would you write down as the three truths that you know to be true about your experience and that other people should focus on in their life as well?
One of them would be, my truth is living for the bigger picture, living for the greater good, knowing that what I was doing left a mark that was bigger than myself. Number two would be living with the awareness of living with self-worth and self-love, or trying to every day. And three, one of the third one would be something about living a life that is not led by fear, but led by challenges that allowed you to expand and grow and learn continually.
I love it. It's a great truth. I love it.
Okay. That was a lot of pressure.
It's all right. It's just,
you know, it's your last day.
Before I ask the final question.
Okay.
Where is the best place to connect with you online? You've got a new podcast. What's it called?
Yeah. So my podcast is called Infinite Positivities.
I love it.
And you can search at willradio.com for all of our podcasts. Or you can go to iTunes and search Infinite Positivities or Jenna Ashkowitz, which has been so much fun. And it's actually like I learned, I mean, I'm sure you know, it's, you learn so much about people and about yourself. And it's such a cool experience. I'm loving it. Also, I'm Jenna Ashkowitz at Instagram, Twitter. And is that it?
Facebook.
Is there more? Yes, at Facebook. Yes. And that's it. I mean, yeah.
Cool. And the book, Choosing Glee.
And Choosing Glee.
Make sure to check it out. It's a cool, cool, great book. 10 Rules of Finding Inspiration, Happiness, and the Real You. I love it. Before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you, Jenna, for your incredible positivity, your incredible
joy,
your love. You just express so much of it constantly.
Thank you.
Whether it be on the work you're creating, this book, I experienced it and meeting you for the first time. Mm-hmm. Just right when I saw you walk in the door, I was just like, I got to give her a big hug.
You did. It was so nice.
So I want to acknowledge you for the life you've lived, where you could easily have questioned, why did this happen to me? Why am I here? Where's my real family? All these other questions, but you lived with positivity. You showed up every single day and you followed your dreams of doing what you loved.
Thank you.
And I want to acknowledge you for taking risks and doing things out of your comfort zone, which created magic in your life.
Yeah, it does.
And the thing that you created on Glee saved thousands of lives. And I want to acknowledge you for the countless hours of work and commitment when you maybe didn't want to be there, to stick it out and give your best, because you literally changed the world.
Thank you.
So I acknowledge you for all of your incredible gifts.
Thank you.
The final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Greatness is, to me, always reaching and always working to hit your best self, your most complete self. Greatness is showing up when you didn't think you could. Greatness is happiness.
There you go. Jenna Ashkowitz, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
That's awesome.
There you have it. Thank you so much for being here. It means the world that you show up, you're present, you listen, and most importantly, you take action on the information provided in today's episode and interview. Jenna was so kind to stick around, and we sang a little song. So if you want to go check out the show notes, lewishouse.com/306, you can see me playing the guitar, which I haven't played in months, and you can hear her singing a song, which she said she hasn't sung in a long time. So you get to see us form a little two-person band. And you can check out that video again at lewishouse.com/306 and the full video interview with Jenna there as well. Thank you guys so much for being here. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you're not yet a subscriber, we come out with episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday designed to make your life better, to improve the quality of your life, to support you in becoming the optimal human being that you can be. So make sure to subscribe and share these episodes with your friends, because we are building a movement of greatness. Over 1 million downloads every single month right now, 3 years in, and it's only getting bigger and better because of you. I appreciate and love you guys so very much. Thank you for being here. You know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.